Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our Lord's Day service. We hope the service is a blessing to you. We especially welcome the Larson family and Rathsack families to the church, and it's always a joy to welcome new life into the fellowship of the church. And this morning we will be baptizing Agnes Rose Larson. And after the service, please join us out on the lawn. There will be a lovely cake in celebration of Agnes. And we've showered the Larson family with some gifts. And we hope you can join us out on the lawn for a very special celebration. At 2 o'clock this afternoon, we're going to have a musical tribute to Joni Lewis. And it should be a very lovely program. I know that Colin has worked diligently on it. It will have quite an interesting blend of music. And so we invite you back at 2 p.m. for the musical tribute.
Please stand and join me in the response call to worship found in your bulletin. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord is God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Give your thanks to him. Bless his name.
For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
And his faithfulness to all generations.
Let us sing hymn 552.
Taking up an offering. This is called a joyful noise offering for door cancer. And when we do that, the children will lead us up and then you may join them. But if you prefer to stay at your seats, ushers will come around to collect a joyful noise offering. This is for door cancer. Door cancer is a local charity, and 100% of the contributions that we make go to cancer patients in Door County who are actively in treatment, and those funds are used for all sorts of bills that they have, regular bills like electric or whatever they need in order to thrive while they're undergoing cancer treatments. So we will now have our joyful noise offering.
Thank you.
sacrament of baptism. You will find it in the insert in your bulletin. And we are so delighted not only to receive Agnes Rose, but her parents will be joining the church today. So this is a triple blessing for us. So I will address Brittany and Michael first. Brittany and Mike, you stand before God in this congregation to declare your faith in Christ and your commitment to our church. Is it your sincere desire to participate in the teaching and fellowship of this church? If so, please say it is.
It is.
It is.
Brittany and Mike, we welcome you with joy and thanksgiving into the fellowship of the Ephraim Moravian Church. May the Lord be with you. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith, led by the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves by grace in the love of God as you wait for our Lord Jesus Christ in his mercy to give you eternal life. Now, we had the privilege of baptizing Agnes's three older brothers, Keel, Freddie, and Argo, and they're here today to witness the baptism of their baby sister. It is now our distinct honor to present Agnes Rose. Please join me in the liturgy. The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who reverence him, and his righteousness extends to all generations. It is written in the gospel that our Lord Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs." Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Our Lord Jesus Christ instituted baptism as the visible means of entry into the new covenant. Baptism is a gift of God. In this sacrament, through grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, we are united with Christ, are cleansed by his saving work, and enter into the fellowship of the church. Our children share with us in the benefits of our Lord's redeeming work through the faith of parents and of the church. Jesus Christ loves Agnes, that he is ready to receive her and to give her the blessing of eternal life. Let us pray. O Father of all, we praise you for the joy and blessing that children bring into the home and into the world. Grant that Brittany and Michael may find blessing in their ministry of love.
Heavenly Father, hear us.
O friend of little children, keep, guard, and bless Agnes. By the guidance of your Spirit, may she grow in strength and in beauty of character.
Jesus, Savior, hear us.
Let us pray. Lord, we are so delighted that we could be here today, delighted that you brought Agnes Rose safely into this world, delighted for the beautiful and loving family she has entered. We ask, O Lord, that you would give to her all your grace, all your peace, all your mercy. And as she grows, may she bless and beautify everything she touches. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, parents and family and godparents, do you promise to lead Agnes through your prayer, instruction, and example toward that time when she can, by grace, confirm her faith in the Lord Jesus and commit herself to the life and work of the church. If so, please say, we do.
We do.
Ephraim Moravian Church, do you receive Agnes into the fellowship of this congregation? You who are baptized into Christ Jesus, how were you baptized?
Into his death.
Agnes Rose Larson, into the death of Jesus, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you put your hands over mine, please? Now, through God's grace and pouring out of the Holy Spirit, you have been brought into the covenant. Therefore, live yet not you alone, but Christ live in you. And the life which you live now, live by faith in the Son of God, who loved you and gave his life for you. Agnes Rose, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace.
Our Old Testament lesson today is taken from the book of Deuteronomy. The Lord, your God, will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your soil. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, just as he delighted in prospering your ancestors. When you obey the Lord, your God, by observing his commandments and decrees that are written in this book of the law, because you turn to the Lord, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that they may hear it and observe it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?" No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. Our New Testament lesson is taken from the Gospel according to Luke. While Jesus was speaking, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us stand to sing hymn number 490, "Spirit of God Who Dwells." Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the things that I love about Jesus is how he turns things upside down, inside out, and generally, metaphorically, pokes people in the eye. Children, don't poke people in the eye. I'm talking symbolically. I just love it. And I love the story of the Good Samaritan because in a short story that might have taken him 2 minutes to relate, he upended centuries of prejudice. And that story echoes through the millennia. Do you know about our Samaritan and their Jewish cousins? They despised each other. Almost from the very beginning, they loathed each other. One of their great contests was after the exile, the people of Israel went back to their homeland to rebuild their temple, and their Samaritan cousin said, "We'd like to help," and they said, "No, thank you." And the Samaritan cousin said, "Fine," and they went and had their own holy place. Well, instead of letting live and let live, what happened? They each desecrated each other's holy spaces, because that's what you do when you're religious without God's grace. Nothing like that ever happens today, does it? Don't answer that. They loathed each other. If a Samaritan was to travel, that Samaritan would try to avoid any Jewish-held territories, and when Jews traveled, they tried to avoid Samaria. That's why you remember the story of the woman at the well when Jesus addressed this woman, and she said, "Why are you talking to me?" Because that just didn't happen. They loathed each other, and Samaritans were the hated minority. And so what happened in this story? Every time you hear the word Samaritan, what is the adjective in front of Samaritan? Good. And that adjective has stuck for millennia. We have good Samaritan laws. People don't have to be Jewish or Christian to know what a good Samaritan is. There are laws on the books called Good Samaritan laws. There are hospitals called Good Samaritan. There are rehab facilities called Good Samaritan. Anytime you hear that word, you know exactly what it means. It's someone who's helping. It's someone who's rescuing. It is a marvelous description of a Samaritan. He could have said, after the priest and Levi ignored this guy, that some Joe Schmo came along. But he said, no, a Samaritan came along. And what I thought was so humorous was when he asked the lawyer after this story, who was the neighbor? The lawyer did not say, "Well, the Samaritan." He said, "I suppose it was the one who showed mercy." It was hard enough to hear that story. And it reminds us that the people who are despised, the people who are outcast, the people who are rejected are holy and good in God's eyes. But more than that, what I love about this story is how the Samaritan took care of somebody who was broken. You see, it's one thing to take care of somebody who has an emergency, but it's quite another to take care of someone who is broken. And this man was broken. And the Samaritan not only had to tend to his wounds, he had to take out of his resources to take care of this man. He brought him to an inn. He said, "I'm going to pay whatever it takes for this man to become whole again." It was not just a simple act. And you and I both know when we're dealing with broken people, how difficult it is. And I think of a broken person in our history. His name was Vincent van Gogh. Now, most of you know about Vincent van Gogh. He painted the most exquisite theme called Starry Night. Some of us have t-shirts that have Starry Night on it. But did you know that he was a pastor's kid? I didn't know that. And did you know that he was severely mentally ill and spent time in asylums? He cut off his ear, and people mocked him. And he was not famous when he was doing his work. In fact, he was penniless, and he had to rely on the charity of others just to eat. And when he was in an asylum, that was when he painted the beautiful rendition of the Good Samaritan, because he knew something about brokenness. And that broken man, for decades and centuries later, his work ministers to people all over the world, because God values that which is broken even when we do not. I had a friend in Maryland who was quite broken. The Vietnam War broke him physically and broke him mentally. His home was in part of an estate because his mother realized that after she died, he could not take care of himself properly. But unfortunately, there were corrupt people who were handling this estate and bankrupted it. And he kept fighting year after year to stay in his own home. And he was smart enough to know which agencies could help him, but every time he got on the phone, they'd hang up on him because they couldn't make sense of what he was saying. So I became his interpreter. And when he'd be on the phone, I was on the other end interpreting for him so they wouldn't hang up on him. And he, in turn, became my interpreter because he was bilingual. And so anytime I was with a group of people that I didn't understand their language, I would call him and he would interpret for me. One day, a next door neighbor who had rented a house was put out of the house. They were evicted, not because they hadn't paid the rent, but because their landlords hadn't paid the taxes. And it was a terribly hot day. The people who were renting the house were out to work, but Grandma was home with the little ones. And a sheriff came and said, everything has to go, and they were putting all their possessions out on the lawn. This was also an area of high crime where people cased the neighborhood during the day and would rob homes during the day because everyone was out at work. And as I'm witnessing this horror unfolding, the only thing I could do is get the grandma and children into my air-conditioned home, but I thought their possessions are going to be stolen. So I called my broken friend. He came right away. He stood guard over their possessions. He helped the family to get everything into a moving truck because he understood what it meant to be on the margins. You see, when we help those who are broken, then they are given the empowerment to help others. God does not cast away broken people. If you've been shattered by life, God will not cast you away. God will take you up, and we hope that the people of God will then see somebody who's broken and not see them as someone to be ignored, but people to be cherished and people to be repaired, and our resources going into those who are broken because of God's love. So, dear friends, I encourage us to take care of those who are broken around us. I think of Mike and Brittany and the four children they have brought into this world, children who are a gift, children who are just delightful to be around. Now, of course, I'm not around at bedtime and the crazy times, so I know what you're going through, and I only had one, so I really admire you two. And your children are not only a gift to you and a gift to the family and a gift to this church, but in a blink of an eye, they will be out the door and be a gift to this world. and I want you to teach them to mend the broken things, to mend the brokenhearted, to be the children who will take this world and do mending on behalf of the Savior. That is my hope for the next generation, that they will be the healers of our broken world. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for new life. We thank you for the children who are here today, for this generation that we are nurturing and helping. And I ask that you would help us to raise them to be compassionate souls who will mend their generation. In Jesus' name, amen. We come to that time of service, our prayers of the church. And I was told today by Joyce and Glenn, they asked for prayers for their great nephew's family. A young man, 18 years old, died in a car crash. And you can imagine the heartache of that family. So please be in prayer for Joyce and Glenn and their entire family. And we have, we want to remember the family of Dean Eckberg, Jamila and her family. Rahm is doing much better, and he will be transferred to a rehab facility soon, so we're delighted to hear that. We want to remember Ed, who's undergoing dialysis, Barbara and Kevin, Fran, Kate. We want to remember our nation and especially the community of Highland Park and what they are going through this day, and the people of Ukraine. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are grateful that your mercy extends to us most often when we are shattered and don't know where to turn. We bring before you Joyce and Glenn and their family, and we ask for your comfort. We bring before you the family of Dean Eckberg, Jamila and her family, as they continue to mourn, and ask for your peace. We bring before you the people of Highland Park. We cannot imagine the destruction. We cannot imagine the grief. And we ask, O Lord, that you would heal our nation and heal that community. We pray for the people of Ukraine. Lord, we ask that you would speak to those who utter violence. We remember our friends who are battling illnesses, Rahm and Ed, Barbara and Kevin, Fran and Kate, that you would undergird them with your strength. We ask all of this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. My brothers and sisters, look for Jesus. Seek him as a treasure in this great wide world. Seek him in the eyes of your loved ones and in the eyes of strangers. May your heart burn within you as the Lord draws close to you this week. Amen.